T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
General rule of thumb is that you're supposed to get your sweat in after you come back from Vegas. That's when you work out all the toxins, coach, put yourself in a better position, coach, get yourself healthy, hydrated, and back to normal.
Sure.
We don't leave until this evening, yet the studio is about 105 degrees in here. We got the whole trip backwards. Feel like I'm going to be drunk in an hour. Good morning. This is Mornings with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Rock and roll with today's show. Yahoo Fantasy Sports. Brad Evans in 1 hour at 7 o'clock to answer all your fantasy questions. Ted Johnson, three-time Super Bowl champion at 8:30. Played with the Patriots. Now on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, he's going to preview the Mexico City showdown on Monday night. Chris Sims at 8:45, along with Bruno Mars tickets. Oh, and Alan Bernstein, 9:35, the sultry sounds of the Pac-12 network. Gentlemen, good morning. Is everyone packed?
Oh.
Has everyone taken out cash that the missus hasn't been able to uncovered just yet? How we doing?
Still have some things to do on that
still
front.
Some things to do.
Yeah, still some I's to dot, and you gotta always dot your I's, and there's still some T's to cross as well, but we're getting closer.
You gotta bring the money out of the slush fund, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
The slush fund. Oh, we're just gonna be having a few dinners in Las Vegas. For those just finding out, we will be in Sin City tomorrow, broadcasting live from the MGM Grand, getting ready for the Andre Ward-Sergey Kovalev fight Saturday evening. But how about we kick off the day with a little update?
And let's start with those Golden State Warriors, Joe, as they get it done. Starting off a four-game road trip in Toronto. The team had it all clicking. Draymond Green had it popping early.
Lost the dribble going behind the back. Gets it back with four. Drives left. Goes hard. Blocked by Draymond. Saved by Draymond as he's going out of bounds. What a play.
What an all-court game from Draymond, but Steph Curry's 35. Kevin Durant with 30. The Warriors win it 127-121. Lorenzo Neal, this up-tempo style, down-tempo. It doesn't matter. This Warriors team's a handful.
It doesn't. I mean, they're as hot as this room is in here. I mean, this team can absolutely light it up.
Scar! They do light it up. But DeMar DeRozan, by the way, 35 in defeat. The Warriors road trip continues tomorrow in Boston. Elsewhere, Clippers lose to Memphis. LeBron sits, and the Cavaliers lose to the Pacers. Story number two, week 11 in the NFL gets rolling tonight. Thursday night football, New Orleans at Carolina. Saints are 2 games back of Atlanta. Panthers 3 back of Atlanta. Carolina's playoff hopes, Joe, are they still alive in any way?
No. No. Well, you know what? Mathematically, yes. But here's the thing. About a week and a half ago, despite an abysmal record, 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. A lot of people kept feeling that this team was going to turn it on, that they were much better than the record indicated. Vegas did not want to adjust the odds properly, so people continued to bet them. We saw them come out extremely flat in the second half last week against Kansas City. Something's not right with Newton and the Panthers this year. The curse of the Super Bowl loser. It's all right. They'll be back, but this is not their season.
Huge game tonight to keep their season hopes alive. Story number three, Sharks game 5 of this 6-game road trip is tonight in St. Louis. The puck drops at 5 on our sister station, KFOX 98.5. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley. On your new home for the Golden State Warriors, it's 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. Carolina, a 3.5-point favorite tonight over New Orleans, as Cam Newton and the Panthers will host Drew Brees and the Saints. That's actually somewhat of an appealing Thursday night game, to be honest with you.
Based on, it is.
You know, Tennessee, Cleveland, and Jacksonville, and all that.
Two teams showing their vibe and trying to get in the playoffs. Keep their playoff hopes alive, at least.
Louisville, Houston as well tonight.
Yes.
We might have an interest in that game after getting off the plane. We will keep you posted. And for everyone traveling down to the Ward Kovalev fight, we're not exactly sure how we're going to do the pre and post fight festivities, but we will be doing pre and post fight festivities. Follow me on Twitter, Joe Fortenball. Follow 95.7 The Game on Twitter. We'll update it through social media, and somehow we'll find a way to get everyone together. Drinks on the big man, Lo Neal. It's out there.
Me no speak English.
last night, your final, 127-121. Very exciting game to kick off the four-game roadie as the Golden State Warriors prevail. They have now won 9 of 10 since dropping the season opener against San Antonio. But here was the highlight from last night's action.
You know, we put a team on the foul line that much. We put a team on the foul line that much, they bound to score a lot. So,
and this was Drake Knight here, and he's the one who just interrupted us. What, give me a taste of what the trash talk was like, what the you know, what the interaction is like with your buddy there.
I don't give a damn about no damn Drake Knight.
And he walked it off.
Drake Knight. Drake was 3-0 on Drake Knight. The Raptors were perfect up until last night on Drake Knight. He's hollering, he's hooting, doing all his thing on the sideline, Mr. Superfan, and then he bumps KD right at the end like that. Did you see that at the end of the game?
I'm going to tell you right now, KD, everyone thinks that he's just this cool guy. He's an assassin. I mean, you get him pissed off. KD is, I mean, you saw that crossover last night, Joe, and then, boom, after you hit it, stared him down and put the gun away like, what, get some. KD, he's a bad boy. When he's playing sports, when he's playing his game, basketball, he ain't in all that hoop, bro. That's why he's so good, man.
It's a classic flip the switch athlete.
Yeah.
You know, you see him when he signs that long term contract, and he's so humble and he's thankful of his mom and his experience and the journey. And he gets on the court and he's killing fools, love.
Killing them, coach.
Flip the switch. That's what he does. He flips the switch. Nice guy, generous guy, fun loving guy. He's a stone cold assassin on that court.
No question.
I don't know who Drake thinks he is, just banging into him like that. Drake. Go man to man. What happened to the days when it was East Coast, West Coast?
You heard
it. Where people used to call each other out and do it face to face. Drake in his sweatshirt, siling up next to KD. That stare down, number two moment all time for KD.
KD, like,
MVP speech was number one moment all time. The stare down last night of Drake, number two all time.
Yeah, KD gave him that look like, homeboy, go kick rocks. Don't do that no more. Back up.
Well, and the thing about Drake is he's trying to play all sides. You know, if it's Cleveland in a big game, he's a Cavs fan. Warriors are in the NBA Finals, he's a Warrior fan. He's from Toronto, it's Drake night, he's a Toronto fan. You got to pick an allegiance and stick with it. It's okay.
Update out of Chicago. The Big Puma just got through security. He's headed to his gate. He's going to need a morning cocktail to take the edge off.
Oh,
Big Puma will be meeting us in Vegas. You might hear from him in Puma's picks at 9:45 tomorrow.
Is that like Guru's gripes at all?
I mean, I don't know what to make of this. This guy's going to show up in a tracksuit.
I can't wait.
He'll probably have some breakfast burrito hanging off the lip. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow morning, but we will keep you posted from Las Vegas. Did you see Drake in the Doris Burke sweatshirt last night?
I did.
Doris Burke sweatshirt. What was bizarre about this whole thing was like, the sweatshirt was great. Don't get me wrong. What were the words on it? Women, anyone? Damn, I should have that in front of me.
Great
message along with the sweatshirt, but he's interviewed by Iz Gutierrez, and he's asked about the sweatshirt, and his quote is, he invites Doris Burke to his house for dinner, quote, as long as she comes alone. As she comes alone. Drake trying to make moves on Doris Burke last night during the game.
It says, woman crush every day.
Yeah, great sweatshirt. Women crush every
day.
Yeah. But then he's inviting her to dinner as long as she comes alone. Doris, an update, has accepted. Dinner is on, is the tweet she sends out. And then Draymond Green with the quotes about Drake after the game. Quote, the shirt was really nice, but his boots were so bad, and I was a little disappointed in his outfit overall. It's Drake night. You got to bring better boots than that. as for the game itself, Andre Iguodala, we talked to Tim Roy yesterday regarding Iggy's slow start to the season to an extent, and last night came out in a big way. 25 minutes, 10 points. 6 assists, 3 boards, 2 steals, was 4 of 4 from the field. But more importantly, he played some lockdown defense. And it happened during a second quarter in which the Warriors went on a 21-4 run to end the half. Iguodala looking good last night. All the way around, the team played very, very well. The question's going to come down to defense. You give up 38 in the first quarter, 121 overall. But you know what I'm starting to realize, boys? I don't know if defense is going to be that big of an issue when you can score at will like this. Fifth game in a row with 30 or more assists and the offense shooting 50% or greater from the field. That hasn't happened in 26 years in the NBA.
And I think it will matter, Joe, in certain situations, but when you play a team like Toronto, you can get away with it. When you go up against San Antonio in a playoff series, or when you play Utah, a slow-it-down squad, defense is going to matter more.
But let me ask you something. The Detroit Pistons, when they won the title in 2003-04, that Ben Wallace team, Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton, those guys, they did it with defense, right?
Sure.
They did it with defense. They were 25th in scoring that year. 25th. Only five teams scored fewer points per game than them that year. But the defense was so good, it was enough to take everyone out. Is this offense going to be so good that it'll counteract a defense that might be somewhat, I don't know what the right word, lackadaisical to an extent?
Of course you're going to get by a lot of teams because you can score. But in any sport, Joe, you know it, offense entertains, but defense usually wins championships. You saw the way last year with LeBron and those teams were able to slow down this offense that can score. Held them in under 90 in the game seven. So, yeah, they can score with anyone. But at the end of the day, you still have to be able to score. But you also, when you think about them, because their inability to guard really physical, they give up let a lot of teams get to the free throw line and the rebounding. So, yeah, they're going to have to score, but I think that their defense is going to improve, but offense is always going to be a premium for this team.
Bring on the Celtics Friday night. It's a revenge game for the Warriors, the last time these two teams got together. April 1st at Oracle of last year, 109-106 is your final in favor of the Celtics. That was the first and one of only two losses for the Dubs at home last season. Celtics might want to stick it to KD a little bit. They put the full court press, I should say, on him in the offseason to try to sign him, and it was a no-go. But we've got some more important things to worry about. It's been 1 year since Aldon Smith was banished from the NFL. So when is Roger Goodell going to let him back? Or is Roger Goodell going to let him back? That's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The GOAT, Brad Evans, answers all your fantasy questions for Week 11 coming up at 7:05. Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mornings with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Brad Evans in 45 minutes at 7 o'clock to answer all your fantasy questions as we head into the final NFL weekend before Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen. Time is flying by. But we got to focus on the Raiders. We got to focus on Monday night at Mexico City. That's all coming up in about 3 to 4 minutes. But today, this day specifically, the one-year anniversary of Aldon Smith's banishment from the NFL for violating the league's substance abuse policy. That means today, as early as today, Commissioner Roger Goodell could weigh in on the fate of Aldon Smith moving forward. Now, he doesn't have to weigh in today, so Raider fans should exercise a little bit of patience here. In fact, it's most likely you won't be hearing a determination on Aldon Smith's future, but that doesn't mean it's not going to come soon, and according to some sources that are floating around the internet, Friday could be the day. So let's start with the obvious. Do we feel that Roger Goodell is going to let Aldon Smith come back? Because you have to remember, banished for a year, and then the Periscope video came out right around the preseason. And then he checked himself in the rehab, so he could have to answer some questions there. How do you feel this is going to go for Smith?
I think that he's going to get reinstated. I think that even though the fire-up session, as it was so called on his Periscope feed, even though it was never 100% officially confirmed that it was him, the understanding is, the expectation is that that was him. He went back to rehab, got himself straightened away. I think he's in a situation where he's on his last chance anyway. So if you're Roger Goodell, you give him that last chance. He served a year. Let him come back in. I think that's what's going to happen.
Six times a charm. Isn't that what they say, Lo? Six times a charm?
I thought it was once, twice, three times a lady.
Now, he's outside of the Periscope situation. This year went very well for him, by all accounts. We weren't reading about him in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. Do you think Goodell's going to sit down and by tomorrow or whenever he makes this decision in the very near future, he's going to say, you know what, Aldon, you're back? But probably with a message or perhaps a warning?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, he could have reinstated him, like you said, today, this morning, last night at midnight. And they're like, no, let's wait till Monday. Let's wait till next week. So I think that Aldon understands what's going on and the magnitude that, hey, he's one more and he'd probably be banned from the league for life. So I think he's going to walk on thin ice. And it's going to be interesting to see how much rehab did help him. See if he really took it all in and say, look, I'm an addict. I have problems. And I know that I can't play around with this because it usually gets the best of me. I've shown time and time again that I play with the devil and I can't win. So hopefully these things have been in life lessons for this young man. But I really believe that he's going to be reinstated, Joe. I really do.
All right. So let's say by tomorrow, Roger Goodell comes out and says Aldon's back in. Boom. Big boost potentially for the Raider defense, which has been showing signs of improvement the last few weeks before the text line goes nuts with the, it was just against Trevor Siemian. That's still a hell of a performance. I don't care who you're going against.
Sure.
That's what you want to see from your defense. So, say he's back. We're not going to see him in Mexico City.
No.
But could we see him next week at home against Carolina? Take me through this. Even though he looks like he's in great shape, how long is it going to take to get up to speed with the defense, his role in the defense, the play calling, everything that's going on? Is this going to take a while for him?
You know, Joe, it will. It'll take a little while since he hasn't had pads on in a whole year. But what they're going to do, Joe, is he's going to be doing a lot of scout team. Coach is going to get him out there. He's going to be running. And you got to realize he's going to be servicing guys. And so when you're on there, you still have the one-on-ones during the week. You still have a little bit of different things that you could do. Coach might say, hey, look, let's get some pads on today. You know, they might be thinking about taking off pads because, we're going to do a fall day. And guys will want to see that. Hey, go out there, Penn. I want to see you guys do that. So they'll do some one-on-ones. He'll ask some of the guys, Joe, I should do it. After practice, hey, man, ask one of the younger guys, offensive guy, lineman, stay out a little longer. Let me work on some stuff. You'll see Coach Jethro Franklin working with him in hand movement. So he'll get extra time and get it caught up to speed. So will he play next week if he's reinstated Friday? I think he'll play maybe 10, anywhere from 5 to 15 snaps.
Okay, so limited snaps.
Absolutely.
Now take me to the next step. How will Ken Norton deploy him? How will you use him? What position would you line him up at? How do you maximize the skill set of Alden Smith so that not only can he eat, but he can also help the Raider defense eat?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to still put him on the defensive end. You're going to put him out wide. You're going to have him and Khalil at times on there. You're going to take Bruce Irvin out at times. At times, you're going to even put him down over the guard, but put him on an outside shade. You're going to tell those guys to get a little wider. Put him to the open side, meaning away from the tight end side, so you can still have Khalil Mack on the open side. Now you have Alden right next to him, and now you got to realize you force those guys in one-on-one blocking situation, and hopefully Alden can beat a guard because he's a lot faster, a lot quicker. You know, so teams are going to try to run at these guys, of course, when he's in the game. But I think that you move him around, give him opportunity, get his sea legs underneath him, and I think by the third game, he'll be getting, those 25 to 30 snaps.
Former Raider head coach, current ESPN Monday Night Football color analyst John Gruden, speaking on a conference call yesterday about the Raiders in the Mexico City game, had high praise for Derek Carr. But he also spoke about the situation when asked about the Raiders and potentially moving to Vegas. Here's the quote. I don't like to hear that. I like the Oakland Raiders, Gruden said in a conference call. That was when someone asked him about Las Vegas Raiders. Quote, I'm a big believer in tradition, and I know there are issues that have to be resolved, and I wish them the best, but I like hearing Oakland Raiders personally. Dibs, is this Gruden just kind of pandering to the crowd, pandering to the fans, saying the right thing politically, or do you think he's really under the impression that, you know what, no matter what the league thinks, it's the wrong move to go to Vegas, the Raiders should stay in the Bay?
I think that's what he believes, having spent time here and had success here in Oakland, and the Raiders do belong in Oakland. The time in L.A., the Los Angeles Raiders, was great for L.A., great for the Raiders, but now that they're back in Oakland, the Bay Area is an area big enough to sustain two teams. They should have two teams, and the Raiders belong in Oakland, and I'm glad that he's come out and said that. Ultimately, though, it comes down to those 31 other owners in January or in March, whenever they vote on it, and what they decide they want to do.
Peter King, Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports Illustrated, one of the most plugged-in insiders in the business, wrote on Monday, and we touched on this a bit earlier in the week, but he said, according to sources he's been speaking with, the league is not a fan of this idea. The league is not fond of moving the Raiders to Las Vegas, and that they might try to figure out a way to keep that from happening for a couple reasons. Number one, they think the, quote, San Jose, Oakland, San Francisco corridor, I believe is the word they used, is a much more fertile ground, a much bigger hotbed for NFL activity than Las Vegas. Transient town that tops off at 2 million, but during a recession will fall off as people move out. So they don't want to lose a team in this market. That's basically what they're talking about. Number two, he also talks about the idea of the Chargers trying to get to LA. And we had floated this, the concept that the NFL does not want an L.A. Clippers situation. They don't want a team of theirs to be in a market that just ends up being an afterthought for decades. See, in New York, you have the Giants and the Jets. The fans are very well split. Giants fans are generally Yankees fans. Mets and Jets go together. Two different fan bases. It's almost as if it's two different cities. Here, two different cities as well. But in L.A., you move the Rams back in. The younger generation starts to get into them. And then at the same time, the Chargers come in. You might have a younger generation starting to get in. Could the Chargers end up becoming the Clippers? They don't want that. They don't want to minimize one of their teams. So right now, it doesn't seem like the league's very fond of anybody moving. We're going to hit more on this later. But Kate Upton, ladies and gentlemen, had something very interesting to say about what went down with Major League Baseball yesterday afternoon. That's coming up next. It's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The GOAT, Brad Evans, answers all your fantasy questions for Week 11 coming up at 7:05. Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Bruno Mars tickets today at 8:45 a.m. We are rocking and rolling on this Thursday, boys.
Yeah,
we are. A bit concerned. I never got the confirmation for my Vegas flight this afternoon.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to show up at the SFO, and I got a feeling they're going to look at me and go, put an egg in your shoe and beat it, buddy.
Fortinbaugh. Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah.
No, they got you.
Also, what's up with the rooms? I haven't seen anything about solo room or shared room. I think we're sharing rooms.
We're not exactly sure how this is playing out.
Oh,
so
my.
What we will be doing at 7:15 is the 95.7 The Game morning show roommate draft. Roommate draft, where you will be allowed to weigh in via the text line 95795 or the phone line 888-957-9570. How would you, with the number one pick, draft one of us if you had to have us as a roommate?
Wow. I don't like my chances after my my bowel situation yesterday. I think I plummeted.
That was pretty bad.
Thanks, Anna, for checking in.
No problem.
I think I plummeted on most draft boards.
I'm going to tell you what. This is a situation where I just assume trade the number one overall pick and just keep moving down to stockpile picks. I'm not looking to win
this
season.
You're going to pull the Cleveland?
Yeah, I'm not looking to win this season. I'm looking to stockpile for the future,
nice.
Maybe find a better situation for myself. Major League Baseball news. Yesterday, the Cy Young Awards were handed out in the National League. Washington Nationals pitcher Max Scherzer, 20-7 on the season with a 2.96 ERA. Scherzer becomes the sixth pitcher in MLB history to win the Cy Young in both the American League and the National League. Listen to this. This is from earlier in the season.
Yes. Best ever.
That's Scherzer recording 20 strikeouts in a game earlier in the season, the pop of the mitt of all 20 strikeouts. Any debate there as to the National League? You could probably make a case for a couple other guys, but Scherzer put up quite a dominant season.
Without a doubt. It was the right choice. Wouldn't you agree, Dibs?
Well,
I mean, who else would you? I mean,
Justin Verlander.
I mean, Dibs, he had 20 in one game.
This is
game,
the
Dibs.
National League, Dibs. The National League. Max Scherzer, the National League.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was
League.
Fixated on the Kate Upton video. I'm a little distracted on
he
that
He did
one.
Show that, Joe. He had me come over there and look at her, Cap Daddy.
Right, but the way radio generally works is we talk about a topic,
yes.
And then we move very subtly into the next topic. It's
that was
called
my
the
fault,
topic
Joe.
Tree.
That
it's why we show
fault.
Up early in the morning.
I see where their focus is.
So now that nobody cares about whether or not a case could be made in the National League, let's move to the American League, where the real news was made. Rick Porcello, he of the Boston Red Sox in a major bounce back year, takes the American League Cy Young Award. This did not sit well with Kate Upton, the girlfriend of Justin Verlander, who of the Detroit Tigers had a remarkable season himself. Upton took to Twitter to voice her displeasure. Here's how it started. Quote, "Hey MLB, I thought I was the only person allowed to expletive Justin Verlander. What, two writers didn't have him on the ballot?" Upton continued, "He had the majority of first place votes and two writers didn't have him on their ballots. Can you pick more out of touch people to vote MLB?" Then Upton again, "Sorry, Rick," referring to Porcello, "but you didn't get any first place votes. You didn't win. Bye, Felicia. At MLB, keep up with the times and fire those writers." So Kate Upton's weighed in on the situation. Does she have a legitimate beef here, Dibs?
I think she does, but the greater issue is that the process seems to be broken. Anytime you have an election where the winner doesn't get the most votes, something's wrong with your election. We had that very situation not in the presidential race. I'm going to go back to the Oakland mayor race where they have this thing called choice voting, which is basically what this is. You get 3 points for first, two for second, one for third, etc. Here's an idea. Whoever gets the most first place votes wins the award. It's not that hard.
It's a good way to put it. To fill you in on how this played out, you had a situation where Porcello had beat Verlander by 5 points, but He had about, I think it was 7 less first place votes, which are worth the most amount of points. So Upton's upset that her boyfriend, Justin Verlander, notched more first place votes but didn't win the award. Now, that's happened before. I think it's happened 3 or 4 times in baseball history, but it hasn't happened for quite some time. Porcello went 22-4 on the season, Verlander 16-9. The numbers were very, very close. Porcello throws 223 innings. Verlander throws 227 and two-thirds. ERA, Porcello 3.15, Verlander 3.04. Their WAR, wins above replacement, exactly the same, 5.2 and 5.2. So, Lo, the voting process here, do you think there's something to be said that one guy is getting more first-place votes, but he's not getting enough points to win? Is there a problem there?
It seems like it would be if he's getting enough first place. He's not getting enough first place vote to win, but he's getting votes the opposite way, either way you want to look at it. It's sort of like you said, Dibs, like with the election. I think the whole thing, even though she loves him and that's her man, and I get it, you come by your man. I have a little girl. Some of the things that women say,
yeah.
You just like, God, if I'm a dad, I'm like, I understand if you have a man, baby, but come on. Don't use that type of language.
You got two daughters. What if you caught one of them talking like Miko Grimes?
Oh, for the love of
me. I'm sorry. That was too early to bring up. I'm sorry. Yeah, I can tell now you're thinking about it, and it's like that would just be a heart attack.
Yeah, the police would come get me.
Now, here's what Upton's referring to. Two voters who didn't even have Verlander on the ballot.
That's crazy.
Wasn't even in their top five. We're talking about Fred Goodall from the Associated Press. He's based out of Florida. And Bill Chastain from MLB.com, also based out of Florida. Chastain's the problem here. He sent his ballot in a week early. Now, there shouldn't necessarily be something wrong with that. But Verlander, after this ballot was sent in, made 2 more starts where he pitched 14 and two-thirds innings and gave up just 1 run. During those 2 starts, his ERA dropped from 3.21 to 3.04. He moved ahead of Porcello in that category. And one can only ask themselves, Chastain, had he waited until the end of the damn season, would his vote have been swung? Would he have at least put Verlander on his ballot? Because there's a couple things at play here you need to remember. Verlander wins the Cy Young. That's a $500,000 bonus.
Wow.
Porcello ended up with $100,000, but Verlander would have gotten $500,000. So you're taking money out of a man's pocket. A lot of people aren't going to cry for the 1%. I get that, but it is something worth considering. Also, and this brings up an argument I've had or a rant I've gone on time and time again, wins should not matter in this category. I have a feeling to judge a voter, the only thing you should be worried about first and foremost is how important is the wins metric? And if a voter tells you, oh, yeah, wins are very important, get them out of there. All right, wins don't matter. Porcello went 22-4. Verlander went 16-9. I have a feeling a lot of voters were swayed by that. I do. But wins don't matter. Let me lay out a scenario for you. Which of the following two pitchers would you rather have as your ace? Okay, I'm going to lay out 2 scenarios. Pitcher A, every time he pitches, he goes 9 full innings. Every one of those games, he gives up 9 runs. But your offense scores 10 runs in every single one of those games. So he makes 30 starts. He goes the full distance, 9 innings. He gives up 9 runs every time for an ERA of 9. But because you score 10 runs in every single game, he's 30-0. Would you rather have him and be 30-0 or pitcher B? He pitches 30 games. He pitches all 9 innings in 30 games. He gives up 1 run in all 30 of those starts. But you score 0 runs in all 30 of those starts. So he's 0-30. Pitcher A's 30-0. Pitcher B's 0-30. Who would you rather have?
It's simple. Give me B every day.
Oh, is it because he's only giving up 1 run?
1 run. Absolutely.
Wins are too heavily weighted by outside influences. Felix Hernandez showed us a few years ago in Seattle that finally a pitcher could win with a mediocre record because his team isn't supporting him. You give up 1 run in 9 innings, 10 times in a row. That is remarkable.
Unbelievable.
But if you're not getting run support, it's going to affect your bottom line.
Sure.
That's why wins can't matter. It's the same thing with quarterback wins in the NFL. You'll hear about, well, you know, this guy's won 20 of his first 25 starts. But if his rating's 75 and he's got the number one defense in the league, maybe he isn't as valuable as another quarterback. Porcello at 22-4, remarkable. Verlander at 16-9, remarkable. You go through all their metrics, they're virtually identical. But the record, I think, influenced a lot of people.
Sure.
And that's something you can't put as much emphasis on. Here's what we're going to put emphasis on. The NFL Hall of Fame cut the semifinalists down to 26 for this year. Roger Craig is one of the names on the list. Lowe and Dibs are going to have a debate about another name, however, and that's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The GOAT, Brad Evans, answers all your fantasy questions for Week 11 coming up at 7:05. Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Is this Beastie Boys? Nice choice, Jacob. Good morning. Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Everyone's getting fired up. Today's Vegas Day. We're all traveling. Got the confirmation on the flight. Your boy's in. I'll be there tonight.
Congrats.
This dude driving. How crazy. You on the bus, homie?
Yeah, Dibs, you're taking the bus?
I was joking with the boss about taking the bus, just throwing something out there to see if he would buy it. And
boy,
he had his wallet out.
Oh, boy, did
he had a credit card out. He bought it. Hook, line, and sinker, Low. I'm on the bus. It actually leaves at 8:15. I'm going to have to leave the show early, fellas.
You're wrong, dude.
Come on, man.
Why you set him up like that? I thought you were taking the bus, Dibs, too.
Did you know that the word gullible is not in most Canadian dictionaries?
Oh, wow.
It's a fact.
Wow, Dibs. You're on fire.
He's not just a gullible. He's a gullah calf.
Oh,
boom. Boom. I think that's from Wayne's World.
Please explain.
That's 9:30.
Vegas roommate draft at 7:15. A lot of people weighing in on the text line. It won't be all of 95.7 The Game. It's just going to be the morning show personalities. But we may incorporate a couple other people to see how far we can take that thing out of control. So, yesterday the news comes out. The semifinalists for this year's Hall of Fame have been announced. That is the NFL Hall of Fame, where the finalists will be announced February 4th. The day before the Super Bowl. Your first-time nominees include LaDainian Tomlinson, Hines Ward, Jason Taylor, Brian Dawkins,
B-Dawg.
Weapon X, baby, and Chris Hinton. Two coaches are on the list this year, Lowe, your boy Don Coryell, and Jimmy Johnson. You've got Morton Anderson as a kicker up as a semifinalist. Kenny Easley is in there thanks to the Veterans Committee. The Contributors Committee has nominated Jerry Jones and former Commissioner Paul Tagliabue. Here are the other names on the list. Kurt Warner, T.O., Roger Craig, Edgerrin James, Isaac Bruce, and Torrey Holt. At offensive tackle, you've got Tony Boselli, Joe Jacoby, Mike Ken. At guard, Alan Faneca. At center, Kevin Mawai. Cornerback, Ty Law. Three safeties, Steve Atwater, John Lynch, and Darren Woodson. Couple linebackers, Carl Mecklenburg and Clay Matthews Jr., father of Clay Matthews III, who plays in Green Bay right now. So, right out of the gate, let's start with T.O., because this was the subject of much debate last year. T.O. was a first-time nominee last year, didn't get in. Is there any reason to believe, now that the writers have made their point, that the voters have said T.O.'s not worthy of being a first-ballot Hall of Famer? Are we done with all that and now he gets in? Because, come on, the production alone, let's stop screwing around here. It's Hall of Fame worthy.
Tebow should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. But the way who T.O. was, why he played the game, how brash, how he treated the media, the things, the antics that he put on, that's what kept him out. I mean, shoot, we had the big boy who wanted to kill you at the Super Bowl. He finally get in his...
Charles Haley?
Charles Haley.
I wouldn't go that far. Charles and I were having a conversation. Yeah, I made a wisecrack, not necessarily about him, but he kind of flipped a little bit.
He flipped the script on you.
I saw you moving away quickly. Yeah. You weren't going to get involved to help your boy out.
I had your back. Back.
You had my back, my baby back ribs.
Exactly.
So you had.
Exactly. But no, so I think T.O., I think this year he's got a strong possibility to get in. They weren't going to let him be a first ballot because then he would have been able to, you know, say, I'm a first ballot. That would have just added on to his ego. So I think this year he'll get in.
All right, let's start with this then. Before we break down the merits of some of the candidates, is there something to be said about being a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is that another class above Hall of Famer?
It never used to be in football. It's always been in baseball. And I think as social media and media attention on all this stuff has increased, it's become a thing now for pro football as well. And I think that's why T.O. was denied. The guy's fifth all-time in touchdowns scored, yet... And that ultimately is the goal of football, if I'm not mistaken, is to score touchdowns.
Receptions and receiving yards are top three.
Yeah, and yet he's not first ballot, so obviously...
And he did it with what quarterbacks? That's what people are missing.
Yeah, Donovan McNabb and, you know, not a ton of great quarterbacks. Jeff Garcia, right. El Jefe,
Romo.
Friend of the program.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's become a thing, to answer your question, in pro football. in the last 10 or 15 years, yes.
Lo, do you feel the same way? Do you think there's a distinction? Is everyone that's in the Hall of Fame just Hall of Famer, you're all on equal footing? Or is it, look, there's the Hall of Famers, and then there's the first ballot Hall of Famers?
Oh, trust me. Guys want to say first ballot. I was a first ballot Hall of Famer. Hey, it took you a while, but I was first ballot. Without a doubt.
Like being a first rounder versus a second rounder in the draft.
It's bragging rights. End of the day, Hall of Fame is Hall of Fame. We get that. But the first ballot just sounds like, hey, look, I did something that's hard to do. It's hard to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Okay. So we've established that. Let's throw one out because you guys, I think we're all in agreement T.O.'s got to be in this year.
I mean,
last year, fine. You want to make your statement politically and say, well, T.O.'s a great player, but was a problem in the locker room. We might not necessarily have liked him, so we're going to dog him for that. LaDainian Tomlinson, a name Raider fans know, unfortunately, all too well. Lo, you play with him for quite some time.
Yeah.
You and Dibs kind of disagree about the way this should shake down. LT is a first ballot guy. This is the first time he's on. Dibs, do you feel LT should get in this time?
I feel he should, but I don't think that he will. And it's because of this whole idea of first ballot Hall of Famers. They don't like to give that out to just everybody. Now, he's not just everybody. He's a special player. And I know that this is going to probably upset you, Lo, because you know the man.
I won't get upset.
You
don't
saw
upset
his
the
career.
Big fella.
I've learned that, by the way, to not upset the big fella, a guy who played 16 years in the NFL. I think he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I don't think he will be. As this process goes through, the next step is to get down to the finalists, which I think they'll get down to, what, 15 or 16 final 15 finalists in January, and then they vote in between 5 and 7. He will be a finalist, but I think when it all comes down, they're going to pull some of these older guys in ahead of him, and he's going to have to wait.
Sounds good, but go kick rocks. LT is a first ballot Hall of Famer. You look at Emmitt Smith. Go see how many yards Emmitt Smith had in his first 10 years and go look at LT. And then tell me this. Emmitt Smith played with the best offensive line probably ever in the history of the Dornier game. Top five ever. That on Nate, all the guys he had, Big Nate, all those different individuals with quarterbacks, receivers. But look who LT played with. Compare the teams and the times. Compare that and Emmitt to first ballot. LT broke every record. 30 touchdowns in one season? Come on, coach. He's the MVP. You got the records, coach? Do you have it?
I got the records. Right now I'm trying to go through his...
Just compare him to Emmitt. Look, and Emmitt, because let's set the bar high. Emmitt won 4 Super Bowls. I mean, and look how many yards rushing he had in the first 10 years.
I still like Sweetness more.
Oh, yeah. Sweetness was
Emmitt was nasty. Don't get me wrong. I like Sweetness more. I like Walter Payton more. I think you could compare LT more to Walter Payton than you could. I'm not trying to disagree with you. I just wanted to get Walter Payton in the conversation.
Well, Sweetness is amazing. And Barry's amazing. But here's my difference is, if you had put LT in Dallas even today, or when Emmitt, he would have rewrote the record books in 10 years. He would have played longer. You have to realize, this how Zeke Elliott's playing? LT's on another level than Zeke Elliott.
You give LT Moose Johnson at fullback.
Absolutely.
He might rush for 3,000 yards a year.
Absolutely.
He's always held back by that position.
With that line.
Don't get the big fella mad now.
He didn't see it coming. Now he's trying to regroup because he had something else to say.
I was rolling with you because I know you love me. But think about it. If you could take LT and you compare him to Zeke, he can catch the ball better than Zeke. Yeah, Zeke might be a little stronger. LT has way more moves. Joe, you used to see LT. He was just so LT yeah, he's could, a first ballot Hall of Fame easy.
LT could throw the ball.
He could throw.
LT used to throw for touchdowns.
I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Famer. And I think that he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but you look at things like postseason stats, very small, very paltry. His game in the postseason, not as good as it was in the regular season. And I know he didn't have a ton of chances in the postseason. He played 10 playoff games in his career. But
these, oh, that's a crime.
These are things.
LT only played 10 playoff games?
Yeah. He played,
Brady does that in like 2 seasons.
Right.
The 1 year in 2007 with San Diego, he had 3 postseason games. And then with the Jets, you remember in 2010.
That was post-real LT.
Right.
Like that was at the end. That's all right.
He averaged 4 yards carry, scored 2 touchdowns in that postseason appearance. But when voters look at reasons to keep him out, Lo, and again, this isn't me.
No, I know. You're just
I'm playing the devil's advocate case a little bit, but these are the things they'll look at. His postseason numbers, relatively small, great regular season player, and that one huge year.
Did it keep Dan Marino out of the Hall of Fame?
No.
No.
No, it didn't.
Didn't think
was
so,
Was he
coach.
A first ballot Hall of Famer?
Nicely done. Boom.
No one's trying to keep him out.
Lawyered.
The argument
drop
is...
Drop the mic. I'm gone. Let's head to Vegas.
You can't drop it. It's on a large boom arm. The point here is not Hall of Fame or not. It's first ballot or not. Did Dan Marino go into the first ballot?
Duh.
Did he?
Did he? I don't know.
I don't have to know. I just know. I'm just telling you, I don't... It means to like this. I don't even know, but I'm saying yes.
Coach. I'll look it up, Coach.
They don't have to. Trust me.
Very quickly to put a bow on it.
Yes.
Kurt Warner, subject of much debate, had a lot of success, but there was a lot in between the years with the Giants and everything else. Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
Dibs?
No on Kurt Warner? The man who went from grocery store to Super Bowl champion?
He's a Hall of Famer.
It's a Hall of Fame story.
Yeah, Hall of Fame story. The story should be a first ballot alone.
His wife's got a Hall of Fame mohawk.
Oh, gee. That's a leave it right here, Kyle. Leave it right where you got it.
Yes, he's a Hall of Famer. He gets
He's a Hall of Famer, but he ain't getting in now. No. Not this year. It's too stacked.
I'll tell you a name that's going to probably have to wait a couple years, but most certainly is worthy, Edgerrin James. Edgerrin James, he never said anything, and you very rarely heard him talk. He kind of flies under the radar a little bit. No, he played with Manning. No, he played with Marvin Harrison. Edgerrin James was a freaking beast.
A monster.
Absolute beast. I mean, he's up there on the all-time rushing list as well. Hell of a career from Edgerrin James. Another great career in the making, Brad Evans. Yahoo Fantasy Sports is answering all your fantasy questions next. Light them up. 888-957-9570. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.